your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 7. And I want you to see these words. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in his presence. I want to talk about this treasure in earthen vessels. This treasure in earthen vessels. Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth. And in this second letter to them, he is making some things clear about the wealth and the weight of the ministry God has given to us. He was making clear how God dealt first with the minister before giving them the ministry. He was dealing with the reality of God bringing about illumination and understanding of this great gospel of the truth of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the glory of God, what he did to redeem mankind and to present himself the Savior who would make us all that we will ever be in God, and how he deals with the fact that having received him and known him, how a change has come about and how they have denounced the wicked, dark, evil things of the world. In other words, Paul talks about what he used to do, he don't do no more. He's helping them to understand that before you can do true ministry, you have to first get yourself together. If you're going to really be effective in ministry, you're going to have to recognize the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the awesome price he paid, the reality in what he did to make you able to stand before the Father and to be one in the righteousness of God. And all of those things that he speaks about is represented in this word treasure. Because when he's talking about this word treasure, it's talking about the illumination, the knowledge, the truth, and or the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no greater treasure that's been placed in the minds of the people of God, in the lives of the people of God, than the true salvific experience of Jesus Christ. And when he talks about this, I want to just look at verse 7 a little more intently. He talks about that we, in spite of all that we have not been, all of our imperfections and unrighteousness that he dealt with in cleaning us up and straightening us out and getting us ready, he says, but we have this treasure. Now let me say this, my brothers and sisters. If you don't have the gospel, the word, if you don't have this treasure, which is the truth of the illumination of Jesus Christ. If you don't understand what this is all about, you are missing the most essential thing about your Christianity. You see, that's why Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Why? Because it is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is the true gospel that Paul is speaking about that will help us understand both in the preaching ministry and the witnessing ministry that all of us who have been saved with the purpose of helping save others. Don't ever think that you've been saved to sit. To say you've been saved to look or to show up in church on Sundays just for worship and then you go about your business. You've been given a treasure. And it's important to recognize this treasure is the good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the illumination of all that he brings to every life who is saved, who is bought with his blood, who knows him in an intimate way, to be able to walk in authority and live the life that he wants us to live through him. To know that we've got the keys of the kingdom. To know that we can speak and bind and loose realities. To know that we walk in authority that God has given to us through Jesus Christ. And it is only through Jesus Christ that that is a reality in the lives of the believers. And so the word says, we have this treasure. We have this gospel. We have this truth. Well, what does it do for you? Well, let's look at Jesus, who is the personification of the Word. He's the Word alive. You remember when he was baptized and was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? And on three occasions, the enemy, after he had fasted 40 days and was hungry, came to him and tempted him. The first temptation, he says to him, I know you're hungry, paraphrase. You see these stones? Now, if you've ever had the privilege of going in the Eastern culture, you'll see there are stones that look like round little muffaladas or mufaladas, beautifully golden colored. And if you're not careful, you'll think that's a nice round piece of bread somebody dropped on the ground. But they're stones. Now, when you're hungry, that stone looks like more so a loaf of bread. And Satan tempts Jesus to take that stone and make it bread. But Jesus, listen, knowing the word, having the word, uses the power of the word and says it is written. And he goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3 and he pulls out the scripture where Moses was dealing with the people of God and God fed them with manna from heaven. But he tells them that they shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall they live. He then takes them on a mountain on the pinnacle and he shows them on this high mountain and says, listen, you know, the word says, if you fall or jump off this mountain, God will send angels to keep you from dashing your foot on the mountain. Jesus goes back into Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, and he makes something clear to him that you do not put the Lord your God to a foolish test. Third time, he takes him even higher and show him all the worlds and the cities of the world and tells him if he bows down and worship him, he'll give him all of these things. But Jesus tells him in Deuteronomy 6 and 13 as he references this, man, we don't serve nobody but the Lord, and him only shall we serve. Now, you say, well, I don't get it. It's in that same power that the fourth chapter of the 11th verse of Matthew says, and the devil departed from him for a season. You see, he didn't have to rebuke the devil. Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Blah, blah, blah. Well, you might have to do that sometime, but I got news for you if you just use the word. And if you use it in its context, the devil will run from you. That's why you need to arm yourself with this treasure, the word of God, so that you are able to deal with every situation and circumstance with the treasure that's been placed inside of you. How many times have you needed a word from the Lord to handle a situation, but my brothers and sisters, it wasn't there, because if you don't put it down, you can't bring it up. If you don't study to show yourself approved unto God, what makes you think when the time comes when you need a word that is just going to pop in your head? It does not work like that. You have got to spend time in the word, know the truth, have the understanding of the illumination of what Jesus Christ and the word of God means, so that you put it inside of you. And look at what he says in John 15 and 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So that's the treasure, the gospel, the word, the understanding and illumination of all that Jesus offers. But then he talks about this earthen vessel. Now, this is so important, because here's where we come in at. Because Paul is dealing with this term, this earthen vessel, for a reason. Because he's talking about clay vessels, mud vessels, those that are made from the elements of the earth. They are frail and fragile. And these things many times are flawed. And yet, he says, we have this treasure in these flawed and fragile and messed up vessels. Well, just in case you don't know what he's talking about you and me. We are the earthen vessels. We were made from dust. You do remember Genesis, don't you? That's how we ever came into being. And so it is from this dust that God chose to put his word inside, to put it inside of you. He made you worthy to hold, to contain his word. Now listen, in Eastern cultures, kings would put their valuables in earthen vessels, and then they would seal them up. And some of them would be elaborately decorated. And when they had real valuables in them, they would seal them. And then when they'd seal them, they'd seal them in such a way that if the seal was broken, they would know that the valuables had been messed with in the vessel. But when they looked at the vessel and saw that the seal had not been broken, they knew that everything that was in there was still in there. But every now and then there were things that happened. And sometimes, listen, when the king was making a change or transfer of his treasure into other vessels, sometimes he had to break the clay pot to get his valuables out. And Paul is liking this to this reality that sometimes these earthen vessels are cracked and marred, and sometimes to get the best out of you, he's got to break you. Stay with me for just a minute here. He does not always leave you in a place or position where you think you're perfect. Yes. Or that you think you have to be perfect to serve his total needs. Because when he puts his valuables in you, it's only until he needs to take them out you for his own desire. Yes. And when he needs to take them out you, guess what he's got to do to you sometime?
Hey,
he's got to break you.
Yeah.
And Paul knew about this because Paul knew with all of his education and with all of his learning and with all of his pedigree that he might get besides himself and think he was too much. And God entrusted in him a great deal. But when God got ready to use Paul greater than he did any other man in the New Testament times, he, listen, broke Paul. And when he broke Paul, Paul prayed three times for God to fix him again. But guess what? He told him, my grace is sufficient for thee. It was a while before Paul recognized that he was still, even as a broken vessel, able to be used to the glory of God because he was doing what God wanted him to do. Oh, my brothers and sisters, some of you are not in ministry right now because your pot is cracked. And because your pot is cracked, you think you have an excuse. Well, Paul has taken that excuse from you. You don't have no excuse. Because listen, the Bible says, and we know, Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You might not recognize, but God is in the habit of using broken vessels. Some of you say, well, you know, I can't do this and I can't do that. Well, you know what? There are some things you can do. And the one good thing I love about God is he doesn't focus on what you can't do, but rather he focuses on what you can do. Moses had a speech problem, but God used him. Noah had a drinking problem, but God used him. Samson had a woman problem, but God used him. David had an adulterous killing problem, but God used him. Jonah had a whale of a problem with his disobedience, but God used him. Peter had a temper problem, but God used him. Thomas had a doubting problem, but God used him. Listen, my brothers and sisters, you begin to look and to see how God can use anybody he chooses. And he does not let their crack reality stop him from using them. Whatever their paralysis may be, whatever their problems may be, whatever their issues may be, I've got news for you. God is greater than them all. And because he's greater than them all, he can fix every one of them. Listen, if they will use themselves to the glory of God. Isaiah said, Lord, I want to volunteer, but I've got a cussing problem. And I dwell in the midst of a people who's got a cussing problem. I said, that's all right, I can use you. Isaiah took some coal off the fire, touched his lips, and purified. Listen, I may not have named your problem, but whatever your problem is, it suggests your pot is cracked. And I've got news for you. If you search the word, you'll see God can still use you. Come on, give him glory in the house. I got a third part, this power, but I'm almost at the point right here where I feel like closing this.
All right now.
Because the power that he's talking about is the excellent power of God in us, which means that we don't need to think that when the power of God is working in us, that it is us, but rather it is him working through us. That's why we can't get a big head about nothing God does through us. Because when he gets ready, I said, when he gets ready, he can use whomever he chooses. And that's why God puts to shame those who are big-headed and high-minded. And he'll take somebody who is low and simple and confound the wise. Have I got a witness? I want you to know today that we serve a God who's able to use anybody who will be used. I'm getting ready to leave you when I tell you there's this little story about a little old Chinese lady, and she had two watering pots, and every day she would go down to the lake behind her house, and she'd put one pot on this pole and another pot on the other end of the pole and put it around her neck, and she'd go down to the lake and she'd fill one pot and then fill the other pot and then put the pole in between and put it on her neck and go on back home. But she noticed when she got home that one pot was half full while the other pot was perfectly full. And after seeing this, the woman studied on this situation. But for 2 years, the woman kept on using the cracked pot. And one day, she took the cracked pot and took a pole and put some string on the pole and took a hook and dug some worms and went down by the lake and decided to fish. And while she was there fishing, she fell into a trance. And it was that in that trance, she heard the pot talking to her. And she said to the pot, "Did you say something?" And the pot said, "Yes, I did." The pot said, "I want to apologize." And the old lady said, "What do you want to apologize for?" He said, "Because I've been cracked and leaking water out for over 2 years. And I've been wondering and waiting for you to get rid of me. I was wondering what's taking you so long, and I can't wait any longer. I want to know, why have you not gotten rid of me? Because I've disappointed you for 2 long years. You would fill me up And by the time I got to the house, I was half full. Well, the old lady looked at the pot and said, "Listen, let me tell you something. I knew from the first day that you were cracked. And I knew when the water leaked out of you, by the time I got home, that you had a hole in you. But the reason I didn't get rid of you is because I wanted to plant a garden along the path to my house." And she said, "You notice I always kept you on my right side." She said, "When you look at the path, do you notice that there are no flowers on the left-hand side?" She said, "Do you know why? Because the perfect pot didn't lose any water." She said, "But 2 years ago, I planted seeds all down this path."
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
What? Why? Just wait for the inheritance. We've definitely got a rich uncle somewhere. We're one call away from the winner's circle at the Derby, dinners with multiple forks, a vacation home in the country, using summer as a verb.
You don't actually think that, do you?
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.